This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Okay. So, all right. So, work session-wise, I like work sessions because we can all just chat. So, I don't want this to just be me giving all millions of... We tried to give you guys lots of just pieces of information that you could look at yourselves and things that we also, Mara, shared. I think that a drive with you even before the meeting that just had some other documents in it as well. But one thing that I did find interesting... As we're rebooting, honestly, this conversation really, because when I went back in, see, this document I started in 2019 before the world fell apart. And for those of you that don't remember or don't know Tammy Van Wy, but she was like the assistant superintendent and the superintendent in Copper River after Michael Johnson became the commissioner. And then she was working for the Department of Ed. And then now, anyway, so she had done a lot of research about just kind of was, because a lot of districts, like Sarah has said this to me a couple times as we're talking about this, it's not new. I mean, the conversations about challenges with attendance and how to address it and what constitutes chronic absenteeism and what are the impacts on student learning and not on learning. And, oh, wow, you brought Spindrift.
I do.
Wow.
You're like Santa Claus. You're like...
Everybody's like, wait,
what do you got?
Nice. Dark chocolate. Right? Good protein.
I love it.
Where does that one do? Oh, sweet and salty. Yes.
Ooh, there you go. That's you.
That's right.
So anyway, she had done this presentation in the fall at a conference that several of us
had a fairy.
Were at. So these notes, literally most of this right up here was stuff that I was working on with Roy Getchell, who was in Haynes, and based on Tammy's work. And then we were just really starting to have a bigger conversation with, you know, those of us in Southeast, basically, you know, like Quawk and Haynes and Sitka and Juneau and us and Ketchikan, just really trying to have a larger conversation about it because there's a whole host of issues. I mean, it's, as we all know, none of this is simple. It's not just as simple as saying you can't travel or you can't be sick or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of things that we need to consider within this. That are related to even consistency of how things are reported, looking at the codes that are used. There's not even a specific requirement, like from a state level, of how that should look in districts. So there's a lot of variation of how things are recorded, which is also part of this story. But I found this interesting when I kind of relocated this and I was looking at it and. Some of the issues are still some of the issues, and then, of course, COVID hit, and then the world fell apart, and we're like, we don't care about attendance. We can't even deal with anything, and we weren't in school anyway, so for a while. So this was from 2019, and you can see some of the comments. I don't need to read it to you, but you can look at these yourself, too, but just talking about this just right there in a nutshell at the very beginning, talking about Haynes. You know, there are districts who show no chronically absent students. Actually, I think we're a district that shows no chronically absent students because of the way certain things are coded, and yet we have people on three-week trips in addition to, you know, X, Y, and Z. So it's this conversation about what does it mean to be excused and what does it mean to be unexcused and what does that mean for reporting purposes, but also what does that actually mean? You know, does it mean that they make things up, they don't make things up? Are we expected to provide those things for families or not, or are we expecting students to come back with a pile of completed work after going to Tahiti or, you know, whatever. So there's a lot. I will say the last meeting that I was just at last week when I went to Juneau to the CERC meeting, the Southeast Regional Resource Center, all the superintendents from Southeast, you know, are on that board, and so we were all represented there. And we have a section during that meeting that is related to critical issues or issues of concern, you know, just like put them on the dock and then we talk about them. And about half of the superintendents there, half the group, put absenteeism and attendance as an issue and a concern to address. So we're not alone in this. And COVID has exposed, as it did with, I think, a lot of things, like an area that was maybe already there and sort of sliding down this slippery slope a little bit already, but COVID just blew it out of the water. And COVID is in and of itself, and then the reaction and response to it, which means people's mindset, honestly, about travel and attendance, and not just even attendance at school, but attendance at work and in jobs and all around, people are looking at things differently, and we need to talk about that. You know, I mean, we need to talk about that as a district, as at the board level, and then obviously with our families and our community, because people's mindset is very different. And even when there was absenteeism concern prior to COVID, people, for the most part, more often than not, to be blunt, were at least making an effort. Like they were, well, we're going to be gone for, you know, or there's a spring break, but we want to be gone this much longer. We'll try to attach it, you know, or we'll try to attach something to a three-day weekend or, or something like that. And, or we've got a medical trip. Maybe we can make it around an in-service day that's on a three-day weekend and, you know, try to travel one day and do the thing and maybe only be out for one day instead of two or three or five or, you know, whatever. So people seem to be a little more concerned about that. So I think that is something to just discuss, and it's a conversation with the community as well. We have a lot, it's a lot less of a concern for people. They don't want to be told things and they don't want to really even sometimes communicate about. I mean, it's just like, yeah, I'm taking my kid for 3 weeks. And there's sort of so it's just a different kind of thing. Like, they're my kids, I can do what I want, which, yeah, they are your kids. So I think we just have to really talk about what we think our expectations are and what is the expectation of us as educators and a district to provide what we're supposed to provide and how does that look. So just to clarify a couple of things in here, like you can see, I tried to put in a few codes and pieces in here. This is true. We don't count school-related activity travel as an absence. So down here, this is under Alaska Administrative Code. Student is considered present if physically present at the school or engaged in a school activity, even if the activity is away from the school. So we know that our kids are gone from school a lot for activities. We're not judging that. We happen to think it's a great use of their time, but it does need to be part of the conversation because we do have crazy travel.
Crazy travel, yeah.
You know, I mean,
and
crazy.
The average, like if a kid was in three activities, the average that they're gone for sports is anywhere between 20 to 30 days total. In their high school
days?
Wow. School days.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's outside of other things. So
yeah,
outside.
I mean, that's if they did the three activities with the most days gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Basketball being one of them just because of the region tournament. Mm-hmm. And spring break helps because if they do qualify for state, they're gone. 20 to 30, depending on what rotation of the year it is, too, on some of those.
Right. So if we have events here.
If we have events here, like volleyball this year, ridiculous, stupid schedule. Just the way it rotated. Next year, we host regions, so they won't be gone for those 3 days. And depending on what community you're going to get to, Haynes takes two extra days on either side.
Yeah.
So,
do you think kids, it seems like they might be missing less or fewer days nowadays, only because
we have to fly.
You know, like going to POW,
yep.
You have access to that boat, which we used to go down to Ketchikan, and then you would go over,
and then it's a significant cost savings with the boat to POW. So before we had that jet boat service, or the jet boat was still going, but then was never reliable, you'd have to fly on Thursday, you'd have to fly on Wednesday on the afternoon jet down to Ketchikan, catch overnight in Ketchikan, catch the Thursday boat across to Hollis, get there at 8 o'clock at night, then play Friday, then play Saturday, boat across Sunday, and then call Alaska Marine Highway to hold that boat. and hopefully we made the tides to get home Sunday. Otherwise, you'd have to fly home Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's...
So that's what I was thinking. Our out-of-seat time is maybe less, even though our budget is up because of how we have to do it.
We saved a ton of school days.
Yeah.
Ton of school days. Because track and field was always a Wednesday, 1 a.m., come back Monday morning at 2 a.m. Every single day.
Who's productive on a Monday
back
after that?
Back to back. Yeah. So they'd come home for two, gone for five. Come home for two, gone for five.
Yeah.
And it was... So Craig had a day... I think they had 30 days is what they put in. This was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And kids had to decide what trip they were going on. And some of them, especially traveling from POW, because you had those extra days on either side. And then, funny story, back in the 80s, the AD at on Edgecombe, he was a Haynes kid. I think your dad was still there. When he had to do this, he missed 96 days of school.
Yep.
He did every single activity.
Yep. That's the one my dad used as the example.
Yeah, he did every single activity, and they had 4.0s, but they still had to petition the board because they missed so many days of school.
Wow. I wonder if that's when Stephanie talked about how many she missed her senior year, which was insane.
Yeah. And then,
but it wasn't 96.
Right.
But it was a lot.
Like,
right. And
for
so,
being in all that
you
activity.
Know, and we talk a lot about those I mean, the benefit of student-athlete mm-hmm. focus is there are some, you know, there's some requirements around that. There are, obviously, there's some more supervision when they're on these trips. There's more expectations about homework and study tables and things like that, which is helpful. And, you know, and knowing that our high school courses are in Canvas and accessible and that kind of thing helps with all of those pieces. But I do know that, and you've talked about this some, and the Ambler has too this year, but just talking even like the access, like the pages of kids with D's and F's for a couple weeks at a time, and the work that goes into, that's from activities too. That's not just sickness or anything else. That's kids that are struggling to stay afloat even in activities, and the work that goes into helping on the staff part too, to help them get where they need to be and do that. And we're committed to those things, but I just think it needs to be part of the conversation because it is, it is a chunk of time that kids are gone and they do, and it does impact them, even though we value it and know that it's important and good for them.
Mm-hmm.
They fall behind in activities though, or is it they come back and they're not doing their homework to get caught up? Because if they have study time while they're at these activities, presumably they're doing at least some, if not most, of their schoolwork.
Yeah. And depending on the type of activity,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it was a trip to Juno and you're on, say, wrestling, you're at the gym from 2 to 10, wake up the next morning, 9 to 8.
Yeah, there isn't study time.
So you probably had zero time. And
then,
you know, if you did region volleyball tournament, double elimination, you got maybe 1 to 2 games a day. You're probably going to have some time for study hall. Or we had one day in Skagway, you know, that was, we had one game. So it was 3-hour study hall.
Yeah.
And
Trumpman
used to do the call-in. Like some days he'd be like, hey, call in the class, you're present, and give you guys the information. If this was before COVID, we'd be at Thunder Mountains Commons. And we would bring Central into class in groups. He'd give the information, give the assignment, goodbye. Go, and they would do the assignment together as
mm-hmm.
a group. So they would actually be marked present for that class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for science class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So some teachers, you know, we still have that ability.
Mm-hmm. Is there a bigger problem in middle school and grade school?
No, our problem is
high school.
Yeah.
It's K-12.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the nice piece with our grade checks is that it's weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you fall behind, you're staying home no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every Tuesday.
This was some of the research we had done. We were doing this research at that time about, you know, just sort of talking about what does it look like, school sponsored activities, how is it coded, and then middle school had sort of a different. I mean, there's things we need to sort of do, I think, to streamline some of this within our own district, because even at the elementary school, looking at the way things are coded there. And these are Sitka's codes, and there's some of these that are similar
to ours. Most of ours are that, too.
Yeah, a lot of these are really similar to what we have as well. But the elementary does half and whole days, and so actually some of that is not totally accurate all the time for reflecting.
We have an A and a P.
Yeah.
So we have.
And so
we have an A AM and an A PM.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got. So everything goes into Common on Power School.
Right. And so even that needs to be adjusted, I think, too, because if a kid's gone for an hour for a doctor's appointment and comes back, that's an hour. That's not a half day. You know, so, I mean,
yeah.
I think there's some things to reflect, you know, in fairness to some of the situations that happen with kids when
but
they
also
go.
But also categorize that as an appointment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But actually doing the amount of time that that they're actually out, not calling it, you know,
a whole day.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did they still do, I haven't checked on Alice's, but when it was block scheduling, I remember Amanda, if she was out, she was counted two absences,
yeah,
even though it was a block class. And
yeah,
it's like, but it's only one day.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's doubled. It's worth the double.
It's worth
the
in theory.
Well, but I mean,
yeah,
but that's
discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they count as one. You might get seven absences in a day,
mm-hmm,
for seven periods. I don't think the block counts
double
like before. Like, I know what you're going on.
Yeah.
We have three singletons and two blocks on any seven-period day. So a singleton would be counted as one absence.
Mm-hmm.
A double, a block, missed block would be two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's
And then they put in, gosh, I can't remember how many years ago, the tardy and the aggravated tardy.
For being longer than
So you have the tardy where you're like
occasionally
1 minute, but then 10 or 15.
Manslaughter tardy,
isn't it?
I think it's 15.
15.
So the aggravated tardy was you've missed a significant amount.
It's right
of
here.
Class.
These are the high school codes.
Yeah. So that's
these
like the definition of an aggravated tardy was you could get marked back in the day. You could get marked tardy if you missed a whole block and you showed up 1 minute before class
was just
out.
Well,
but
I like the acronym
missed
of one of those spells in particular. So that's my favorite
one. The aggravated tardy was you were gone for a significant amount of time and you probably missed instruction.
Yeah, if you're out.
Virtually tardy. You showed up to
virtually
the online
tardy
class.
Practically.
Well, and these were obviously during COVID.
Yeah.
These are COVID.
I was virtually tardy.
Those are COVID.
I wasn't actually tardy. I was virtually tardy.
You're sitting in virtual detention.
Yeah, virtual detention.
Yeah.
Virtual
ISS.
Yeah.
So maybe adding some codes there.
Mm-hmm. And then this happened in middle school. And again, this was COVID.
I'm giving you virtual detention.
Discussions
like
we can do this.
No, not virtual.
So many things.
Not virtual. Give me in-person detention.
You're showing up and I'm locking you in my trampoline. And
so work there. We have some work. I mean, I think there's some. I kind of was making a list this week just of things that need to be really. There's lots to address.
But there's nothing across the board statewide that gives you.
Which is so weird. Of all the other things they make us track, they don't make us track how our students are missing school.
Well, we've had this conversation, though, and I don't know. I think what happens is
we do track. So in an OASIS, that's one of the large reports that I do in July, it will ask for membership days and attendance days. So they get that report, an overall attendance for a child.
But not their
reasons.
That reason
is only if, no, it doesn't give any reasons, and you have to, well, if Erica, if you'll scroll back up. Like
this
on the far side where it says presence, you know, those are what is counting in for that attendance. So
one or the other in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, present or not in that.
And that's all they're asking then.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the more specific would be for our own internal information on tracking how many kids are really out for this particular reason.
I mean, to be able to have those, and I think part of this conversation is also we need to be doing a better job of outreach and communication with our families.
Yeah.
Now that we're re-engaging everybody's brains and lives and whatever, we need to be more intentional about, doing what we have in our handbooks, which we're not doing. I mean, literally, we stopped trying to track. I mean, and then when people were sick and we didn't want people to come to school at all when they were sick, so we were like, just don't come. You're not, I mean, you know what I mean. So it just really blew everything kind of out of the water for all of that. So we need to be doing a better job of just even notification, information, doing what we say we're doing in our handbooks, even if it's just giving people that information, but also really being intentional about setting up the meetings with people like we say we're supposed to, and then having these conversations, like what are they missing during those times? How is it impacting their learning? And really having that deeper conversation. we know that kids can be given things in COVID, sorry, Canvas, and in COVID, and they can get, we learned that you can get a lot of education and instruction in that area. But we also learned, I mean, people, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying people used COVID, right? My kid's not learning and they got to be in school. Yeah, we actually agree with you. So your kid doesn't learn everything to the best of their ability when they're not in front of us. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, that was sort of the argument during COVID, like, get those kids in the classroom. We can't be home. Well, no, that it was a babysitting conversation. I mean, it's not a, I think people did know their kids weren't getting what they needed all the time, but also you can't use that argument both ways, right? You've got to get those doors open. Those kids need to be there in front of you. They can't learn like this. Well, we actually agree in some instances, you know. You don't learn shop the same way. You can't learn first grade reading the same way. You don't. You miss 3 weeks of first grade reading instruction.
You're done.
I don't know how you,
no, you don't recover.
Recreate that in a packet, you know, or people feeling like that's very well-intentioned too. A, the work that people put into doing that, especially primary teachers, for not often very much return. And then people, I think, you know, what are we giving them? And then is it really the quality that we, are we really, are we doing our due diligence in giving what's actually what we want them to do? Or are we just saying, here's these things, do the best, you know what I mean? What are our standards? What are our expectations? Heather has said this year and made that change last spring, if you're going for 3 weeks to whatever, we're not putting packets together for your first grader.
That's
it's
a
just,
lot of extra work.
It's ridiculous. And for how much return? None.
I mean, there's some, maybe, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem there is that they feel that packet of information is going to get them an A, is going to get them a 4 on their standard report card, but it's not. And so when they say, but we did the homework, why does my child still have a 1 under reading? Well, it's that homework's never going to make up for the reading that they missed, for learning how to read. So interpreting that the papers that they turn in will justify the grades on the report cards or justify the standards, the scale of 1 through 4 on the report card. That's a little bit of a hard concept. So, which is our push now for the Reads Act, thinking that right now we have K-3, we're standard-based. We need to revise our report cards a little bit to match what this Reads Act, the law, states. Where kids should be, but also moving that to fourth grade. Are they meeting the standards in fourth grade? So getting away of letter-based grading, putting in standard-based grading for fourth grade next year, then moving to fifth grade the following year with the standard-based grading instead of the letter grade. Letter grades, grades off of what you know and what's there, but the standards are the standards. And the homework is based off of standards, but we want to know if they know how to multiply in fourth grade, and do they know how to add and subtract in second grade with double digits, and do they know are they phonological aware in first grade? Do they have phonics down? Do they have their vocabulary? Do they have fluency and comprehension? Those are the standards, and so grading, scoring off of those are important things, and kids won't get bored.
You do have your outliers that are...
And having some accurate assessment about how do you show that. And I think even the conversation that came during one of the trainings that we had about the reading instruction and looking at gaps and holes that can happen for even kids that do read really well. Like, they come into school reading and they're obviously at a huge advantage, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way, we have seen that over time, and I saw it when I was an elementary principal and an elementary teacher. There will be skill holes, and it happens. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to die or that they can't function in life or that they can't make it up somewhere down the road, especially if they're pretty high intellect and they've got a pretty good life and supports around them and all those kinds of things. But I think that's that conversation about even supporting even our high-end students, making sure we're getting them what they need too, and making sure that they don't have gaps that could cause problems down the road with another sort of skill set or another subject area, I think is important. We definitely know we see that in math for sure, and some of those more chronological activities. And I think just the way some of the instruction happens, so the K-3, K-4 in particular issue, I think is another sort of topic that's got its own set of challenges, you know, related to that.
You have the basics. Those are the basics. And if you move on without the basics, I look back there at Tom. I mean, he knows you're missing gaps. There's gaps everywhere in those basic skills, even for math and for reading. Can I share?
Yeah, absolutely.
Things? So I have a teacher who has had 7 full days with all their classmates since the beginning of the year. Even on day one, they did not have a full class. They've been missing kids every day. So right now, to date, they've had 7 kids. They've had 7 days where their whole entire class has been there.
I overheard her conversation in the teacher's lounge last week. She didn't know I was there. I was doing some work. You got a nice comb binder in that work area. but what was really heartbreaking, as I was just like eavesdropping, like, she desperately wants all of her kids there, like, and was telling her fellow teachers, like, I just want one day where they all show up. Because it's just that repeating, oh, yesterday we worked on this, and, you know,
you
snowballs.
Move on to this, but, oh,
yeah.
This one does forgot
yeah.
Oh, and subtraction. We
yeah.
need to go back. We need to teach
this.
They're
for
we
2 days, and then they're gone
and
for a week.
Go.
Closed
yeah.
down
it was
instruction
just,
for
like,
all.
Heartbreaking to
yeah.
hear her
yeah.
pleading for just more mm-hmm. than a day or two yep. here and there where her whole class is there.
It's a speed bump for everybody.
It
I mean,
is.
For all the learners.
Yeah.
All the learners, all learning slows
actually,
down. I
felt really guilty because my child was gone that day, but she was sick.
Well, yeah. Is there like one predominant reason for absence or just that cohort of kids, like parent involvement, or is it sickness? Is it travel?
Well, I mean, right now in that particular teacher's classroom, I have one student who has been, we haven't seen since December. They're still on vacation. I have another student who just left last week and will be gone until March. I have,
what?
I mean, yeah, so we won't have a full class until maybe after spring break in that particular class. And now I have, I mean, other classes that, you know, I have a student that I talked with their parents on November 10th and they've missed, they've been tardy 50% of the time. So they have all these tardies and they're tardy. And so when you're tardy, there's research that shows when you come in late, and we're talking like 8:30, school starts, bell rings mm-hmm. at 8, so we're talking 8:30, 8:40. I have another student on November 9th, that I had talked to also, and they had missed 50% of school. So 50% of those whole days. And those are some big numbers. I also have students who have missed, yeah, it's just there. It's like 40, 50 days. It's there, tardy, absent.
The tardy thing is tricky for elementary, though, because they might not have a lot of control over it.
No,
I mean,
they don't.
Hopefully,
however,
maybe get to the bus, but if parents aren't there or guardians aren't there.
The first one, students are being a little bit defiant on that.
Oh.
So there are some that struggle to get to school. They make their parents a little loopy and a little crazy trying to get them. So they're digging their feet in. I think that the conversations that I've had, because I've sent a lot, I've talked to every single parent. I made about 50 phone calls in November to all of any students that had over 5 absences. I made another 50, and that's a low-end number. I know I made more phone calls than that. And so every phone call I made, I sent an email in return. just to follow up on our conversation about the tardies, about the absences. And then in December, I did the exact same thing. I made phone calls with every single family, and then I followed it up with a email just to verify. And, you know, I've been getting all kinds of feedback, like, we are a seasonal family. We work during the summer. Our vacation is during the school year. This is our vacation time. We work all summer long. We're going to take the whole month of January off. We don't take December because the prices are too high to travel. We're going to take January, and that's when we're going to travel. You have families that have stayed all of Christmas to enjoy the holidays, and then they left right after Christmas, and now they're gone until the mid-February. And I am there. I never get a vacation with my family. Like, I go on vacation by myself in the summer because my husband's working, and I can't go in December because my kid wants to play basketball, and I can't go over spring break because they always go to state. And so there's nothing. And so I'm stuck in Alaska right now, and it's a little stir crazy, but I'm here. So when I look at it, I look at the big picture and think, what's best for kids? Not what's best for my kid, but what's best for kids. And thinking, how can we make this work so that we're meeting the needs of Petersburg? And does Petersburg really want their needs met, I guess, is another question. Is this really, is it important to them? I don't know.
Good
and
question.
So I'm really kind of wondering what that strategic planning will look like and what the push for the community involvement is. And if it's not important, if being here and being present is not important, I just want to know. And but if it is, how can we help them? What can we do to support them? What can we adjust in our calendar? The week in February is really nice. It's a week. It takes 2 days to get
it's
somewhere and 2 days to
yeah.
get back. And it's really nice. It is. I love the idea. But families aren't just gone for a week. I mean, I have a student who left in mid-November and actually I think in mid-October and came back in the second week of December, and they went on a huge family vacation. And not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying those vacations are bad, because there's some really good life lessons that are learned there. But how can we work with them to put something out to where we can continue on with what we're doing? I don't know.
I think your bigger question of what does the community want?
Yeah.
Because I think we could try and design a calendar ad nauseum. We could try and change all this. But if you don't have buy-in from your community in its public school and what's important, then I feel like we're spinning our wheels, especially if you have families that are like, nope, I'm taking 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
And so their priorities are different than ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're not concerned about their child falling behind. They're not concerned about some of those things because that is not what's important to them. And there's nothing, I don't think there's anything we can do about that.
Yeah,
we
can't change.
We can say, we really wish you were going to be here. This is incredibly important. But at the end of the day, there's nothing we can do because you can't force them to show up.
Yeah, I don't think there's any kind of calendar that would accommodate the number of days they need to be in school that would alleviate people that are like, I'm going to take off for a month.
No, unless you're year-round, and then I'm not opposed to that at all.
I don't even know if that would
totally
fix it.
No, it wouldn't.
Not that
part
of it.
No.
So I think the other...
It has been a culture here for, I would argue, decades.
Mm-hmm. We used to do it as kids. My parents would take me out for the whole month of December because we worked all summer long. And I remember, I was looking back on that and thinking... Yeah, that's what we would do. I mean, we'd leave at Thanksgiving and we were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we were not the best readers.
I did a little data mining on it, and I discovered that if you, from the second week of November until the end of January, the trip slips that we have accumulated between 6 and 12
combined for a total of 265 missed days of school by 41 students. They range in time from 3 days to 21 days, so the average is basically 6.5 to 7 per student, but the average doesn't tell you a whole lot because there is some really are just, you know, but if you even worse, if you were to control just for the ones that are just a few days, and then that would be my next step to look at is like, what did the 30 kids missed 240 days, you know, I mean, it's like ridiculous. It's just the total amount of time. So then I guess the question becomes, in addition to what's the community standard is, because we know it's extra work for teachers when students go away. Mm-hmm. It slows down the whole class. So the school culture never has a chance to really fire on all cylinders. And then the question is how much are we about access and how much are we about ambition? Because our most ambitious students, we have some good performing students, but I don't believe that our top performers are performing as high as they could, and there aren't as many of them as there could be, because in part, for several reasons, one reason for sure must be the attendance. I mean, if you miss 96 days a year and the program quality is high, how could you possibly get a year's worth of learning and a 4.0 GPA, or, you know, what would that even mean to have a 4.0 GPA when you've missed much more than half the school year? So that's a tough call. That's a really hard thing to reconcile. I think we would all agree, if you missed the entire school year, let's say you just blew off sixth grade, you went from fifth to seventh, you think, well, I don't know if this kid really should be going into seventh grade because they missed the whole year. So what's the number? There must be a number that none of us, we need to draw a line in the sand and we have to pick a number. We would all agree that missing an entire year would be unacceptable. I think we would all agree with that, right? Mm-hmm. So is 50% of the year okay? Can we miss 50% of the year and have that be okay? Is it 25%? What's the number that is a red line that we cannot tolerate? And at some point, it doesn't matter why you're out. If you're gone 25% of the year, and there's enough students who are doing that, how can the program quality not suffer because of that? So, you know, I think we do have to make, you know, there has to at least be dialogue and some, you know, cage rattling or some way we've got to find out what people want and make them understand. You know, then they're going to complain, why is my kid getting a one? They've missed, you know, 2 months of learning how to read, and they can't read at grade level. And so what's our role here? You know, what are we, you, us, everybody, what are we doing?
I think about how angry families would be if it was the other way and our teachers were missing that much, too, or showing up late half of the time. Actually, I had a guidance counselor did that to me once to prove a point, like, because too many people were showing up late for their class, so they started doing it to us, and it's pissed us off. But yeah, if our teachers missed that much school, we would be hearing, well, my kid can't learn that well from a sub, or you know, other than like medical leave, which is understandable, but yeah, it's hard. And then it's not just your kid missing, the rest of the class is missing your child being in there.
Yeah, I think that's
and their
the
viewpoints
engagement.
And their perspective.
Yeah, I think that's important.
But
yeah.
the rate of learning, because anytime when
it's,
people are coming back, you're the teacher's constantly having to slow down and miss instructions, so you're simply not maintaining the pace. And the way sort of education has become in the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, we're already in spray and pray mode where we're over-teaching. We're teaching too much stuff to too little level of mastery and proficiency. And that's why we have so many kids falling through the cracks. That's why we don't have our high performers are not really that high. I mean, they're high, you know, Alaska is not a really great example because I think the attendance laws in this state are obviously dictated by the geography and all that stuff. Other states are much, much more stringent. There's a whole cottage industry in many other states about tracking down students who are...
Well, the funding is tied to that. That's why.
That's right. Yep.
It's not tied to it here.
Well, but,
you know,
but
so
that doesn't...
Maybe it was. We would have a different culture, but I think you've got, you know, then you would have your truancy... The truancy officer would pay for itself by making sure their kids are in the seats. But I think... I feel like we have kind of two issues of you know, you don't have K-5 or even K-6 traveling force activities. You have them out for trips or medical. Viking Swim Club does travel, but I don't know what kind of impact that is.
Not very much.
And they're a pretty organized group, too, as far as keeping kids. You know what I mean? I think that's sort of that activity thing, too, just trying to, I mean, even though there is an impact and we do have kids that have trouble getting caught up even after those trips, but I think that they're pretty organized about, you know.
So is our bigger problem the vacations? Is that what?
The ridiculous vacations. Sorry, I'm just saying that.
I feel that's the, but I don't know if it's a problem, you know?
You don't know. You don't know it's a problem.
Well, I don't know if it is a problem for the community. I don't know.
Oh, for the community. Yeah. For the school, it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. Culturally, in our community, is it? You know.
I think the other question though that comes from somebody's comment about what happens to it's actually some of the things we were talking about during COVID with masking, right? Like, well, you're making a decision for all kids when it's only my, and it's like, well, but yeah, but you're making a decision to be gone for 30 days. And your kid comes back needing lots of reminders, help, support.
Extra,
it does impact. So my kid wasn't gone for 30 days. So they miss out on some instruction or have to hear something 10 more times, or you know what I mean? Because so
students with great attendance are
there
getting,
is that. Yeah, I mean they're kind of like, oh my God, we've already done that. You know, I don't want to hear the next 10-minute review of that. We already did it.
Right.
You know, like I already know where I'm at. You know, kind of a thing. So. We're never going to get away from some absence and some recovery and some having to repeat and some all that. I mean, that's just life. We know that. That's people are gone from meetings and we have to do a 5 or 10 minute, you know, review. So, I mean, adults deal with this too, but it is excessive. I've never seen it to this degree. I mean,
there's a lot.
Right. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen it to this degree.
You know, especially I think it's magnified with the amount of travel woes, canceled flights, weather, things of that sort. I think it magnified it a little bit more where we've had a couple extend the trip based upon, hey, we didn't get out.
Yeah, two high flyers just literally recently, right? You just
literally
had another family that's extended another week.
Yeah, extended another
week. And they're great people. I mean, it's not to be jerks about it. Like, they're you know, they're communicating, they're whatever, but it's like, we got out a couple days late, we're staying another week. It's like, oh, my God, that's great. I mean...
Well, that makes me wonder, you know, to what extent is education in general a priority? If you have people think they can just, do they think the learning's going to magically happen, or they don't, they're indifferent?
I think some level of it is people's confidence in their child. Either they don't value, either they're like, I'm not worried about this because my kid's doing okay or is doing quite well, or I think it's also just a different value system.
And I think that's that mindset piece that we have seen, that I have seen since
that
COVID.
Family time is
more
important.
So is that, which is just like, nope, they're not at all concerned about that. I mean, they really aren't. They're just like, nope, this is more important to me. I don't care.
But
I mean,
so as the public school in that community, do we, I don't want to say embrace, but do we reflect that? Do we, not encourage, but do we acquiesce to that? Or do we push back against it?
Well, I argue we have to push back.
I don't think we have it.
I think we have to.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I don't, and I don't know even here that, I mean, even, you know, I think, and you're all engaged, you're on the board, like, you know, but I mean, even really having an understanding of, A, the impact on student learning with gaps and holes and things that can happen, the disconnection, the social connections that also happen, because we do have teachers talk about that. Kids are gone for 2 or 3 weeks. They come back. They're just like, I don't have a clue what's going on in my room. People are all moving on to this. They are, you know, they've lost a friend maybe over that amount of time. Groups have changed. They have a hard time reintegrating, not even take the academics out of it. They're just kind of like, ooh, I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of like discombobulated too. So I don't, those are less quantifiable, I guess, in the sense of trying to paint that picture for what it looks like when people are just like, I take my kid, it's my kid, don't worry about it. Well, but we do have to worry about it. Like, we're the ones, though, that are, we are trying to help them get reengaged and fill the holes and all those things. And I don't know when we say, and I know what you're saying about the public part of that and how do you work within the community norms and all those pieces. I think we do, though, as a public institution, have an obligation to provide the based on the standards and what they want us to do. You know what I mean? So I think that's the part for me that I'm like, I hear what you're saying. I don't know if it's the preponderance of people that feel that, you know.
I just don't know what the if any solution, if there is a solution.
Or what pushback would look like.
Yeah, I just don't. I can't fathom what would work.
You're trying to dictate my personal time.
So I'm pulling my kids out. I mean, I talked about it in Rachel's news report. Is you get that, then fine. I quit. I'm going private.
And I think there may be some people
there
that
will
do
be.
That. I also think though that there's people that learned that wasn't what they thought it would be during COVID, because we had plenty of people who threw fits. I'm just saying, right?
No,
and they were like, I'm out, you know. And it's like, oh, and it really sucked. And then when we changed things or adjusted things and they could make it work for them, they were like, well, fine, I'll put my kid back in. They really do need to be here, and thanks for getting it together, school board. You know, I'll acquiesce and bring my child back, you know, kind of thing.
I think the challenge also is because we already had a culture of absenteeism in large part before COVID, in absenteeism, not officially, but I mean all the travel from trips, but post-COVID, that it unleashed that ferocity of travel, you know, the addiction to, I got to get off the island, I got to go somewhere, anywhere. And I'm concerned that it's been now normalized and we're not going to get the genie back in the bottle. If we do nothing, I expect this to continue. If we just completely say, there's, you know, you can miss as much school as you want and there's absolutely no consequence, I don't see any reason why the genie would get, you know, contained somehow. So I think if we're okay with leaving things as they are, then let's decide and just live with it, or we have to do something to try to chip away at it. You know, you're never getting to 100% of anything you set out to do. I know with the vaping, and if they don't vape at school, they're going to vape. You know, what you want is to reduce the total amount of vaping that is taking place. So we have a lot of fence sitters too. There are people who they're going because they know they can, because they see everybody else doing it. So if we take no stand, that fence sitter population is going to increase. There's always going to be people who say, you know, I'm going anyway, and there's nothing we can do about that. There's other people who, what about the students? Are we not looking out for the students who do come to school every day, who have like perfect or near perfect attendance? We don't have their back, you know? I mean, so I know it's tough. That's what I said earlier, the balance between access and ambition. So the most ambitious students are not able to get fulfillment of their educational experience because we're trying to provide access to those who don't value education as much. And as a result, our high-performing students are, you know, the high-level quality of our institution, because we do have, you know, we have a high-performing district. But I'm not sure that's a given to last if we're going to have this kind of culture of, like, you know, we can unabated. There's no consequence whatsoever for this.
So what do potential deterrents or pushback or change in that culture
That's right.
Like?
I mean, I don't think we
some
have
of it is unknown. It's unknown.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know
sure.
if we have the ability. I mean, do we have the okay? So you.
Yeah, you're retained or you lose credit. I mean, there's the
you're
credit.
You're retained or you lose
you
credit,
right.
but
the credit
if you already don't, if you're already pulling your kid out for a month,
right?
There's already an element of like, yeah, okay, so they get a C instead of a B.
But
it's kind of a bummer because there's, I mean, it probably doesn't happen very frequently. If I asked my kid to go on a trip, they'd be ecstatic, but because we never go. But there's probably some kids that they do value their education, but they're not in a position where they can go up against their parents.
Yeah, or like it stresses them out to miss routine
my
and things
kid,
like that and have to come back
sick,
in. And
freaks out and yeah. like has anxiety fits just going back after being sick for a day or two. But that's part of the reason why we haven't pulled them out to go on a vacation. If we try to penalize, essentially, or put some kind of consequence on it, we're also putting kids in an interesting position to go up against their parents. And that isn't a fair position for us to be in either.
It's still going to be parents make the call, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Great. So a couple thoughts. We're not going to solve it tonight. That's why we're starting now.
Yeah.
So we're all going to, like, deep breaths and, you know, because we're not solving it tonight.
It might take a year or two.
I mean, whatever. But the I think it's sort of reining this conversation back in. And I think it's a campaign of sorts, though, too. Because I also
it's a change in behavior.
Yeah, because I really do think just even with the READS Act conversation, it's going to take time on our parts if we're going to do this as a concerted effort. But let's have these conversations and let's bring in some of these, even some of our, and whether they come or not, I don't know. We invite people directly. What is it that you value? What makes you value or not value what we're doing? I mean, do we not just talking, you got to be here, but I mean, let's talk program. What is it that's drawing or not drawing your kid here? That has to be part of the conversation, I think, too, you know.
The urgency of getting educated, right?
What does it look like? What are we doing that's engaging them to such a degree that they don't want to miss or they don't want to be behind or whatever?
They're afraid to leave, or something.
Right. Or they're like, oh, I'm going to miss out on that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Are you finding a lot of, at least K through fifth grade, the longer vacations, longer meaning, I don't know, more than 3 days, tagging it on to a long weekend or whatever, are they the seasonal families with, you know, that don't have a traditional period of time off? Or
not
is it
all.
Just some of them not are just, all. They work, they want to go someplace warm because it's crappy here from October to May?
I would say seasonal is... maybe a little bit higher percentage.
Mm-hmm.
It is because their kids are migrant. They work all summer with their parents or whomever on doing stuff. I think we're in an interesting place. We have really good teachers. We have really good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a retirement system. Mm-hmm. What's keeping them here in Alaska? What's keeping, I think if you can go back further, like what's keeping him here? And talk of tying these performances to their evaluation. Talk of, you know, right now you have 69% from last year of Stedman that are below proficient together as a group. And that was last year's result. And you have teachers, they're working so hard. They're working after hours and on weekends, and they're trying so hard to catch up. You know, Susie, who left yesterday, but Paul left last week, and Charles is coming back tomorrow, and, you know, Sally is coming back in 3 days, and so they have to make sure that they have this time, and their time is after school, and they're inviting those kids to come in on their time and to catch them up on those times. And it's, I don't know, it's interesting to think that I reflected back on teachers' time. Like this attendance, yes, the scores are poor, and the scores could be better if we had them in their seat. But really, this is affecting our teachers, and this is morale, staff morale.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard.
So if you've got a community that potentially a portion of it, or I don't know if it's a small portion or a lot, that values taking breaks, longer breaks in the winter, are they willing to fund a position that helps get kids caught up?
Mm-hmm.
And when?
Yeah.
In the summer when they're
in
not
the
traveling,
summer,
apparently.
Or
after
school.
Do we go another week into June and have another...
But I do actually think that was one of the things I think we have to add is, I mean, if thinking about what are, you know, some of the samples that we kind of shared earlier too, like there was that sort of trip slip on steroids that's also like an acknowledgement that parents are signing saying, I know my kid is going to have, I mean, I think that is something that a speed bump as you talk about, like you're acknowledging it's going in your kid's file.
Yep.
You are doing this. It's passing along. This is, I mean, you've missed, and then you can pull it out at the end of fifth grade when they're like, my kid can't do this, and it's your, it's like,
right.
No, here's 175 days that your kid missed in between kindergarten and fifth grade. I mean.
Yeah, that's right. That's a full year.
I mean, I think those kinds of things have, in my opinion, have to happen. We need to be doing a more concerted effort or campaign or whatever for people to just give us notice. I mean, even the trip slip thing, like you had a kid call today about going to Spain for 3 weeks. The mom called and she was rude to Erica about, we're in Spain, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we don't have the right to just say your kid is gone for 3 weeks and they are academically at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And behaviorally and disconnected.
Yep.
And blah, blah, blah.
And misses a lot of other days anyway.
Right.
So, I mean,
exactly. So, like,
it contributes to the delinquency of a very cavalier attitude about attending school in the first place.
Right.
So it's not just oh, this is just this one-off anomaly. It's not that at all.
Are we talking about 10% of the student population? 20?
Well,
25?
I mean, it's about 20% in our case, secondary, of who have availed themselves to all this extra leave time.
Okay, outside of activities?
Outside of activities.
Okay.
During a time when, yeah, it's 8 weeks, plus in that, separating those 8 weeks is the 3 days at Thanksgiving and the 2 weeks at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I believe that it would mitigate it if we had, let's just say hypothetically, if there was a way to make it work numbers-wise, that it was like a three-week break, February into whatever it is, whenever it is, and we say, look, families, target your. We get that we're a seasonal community, and we want to meet you where you're at, mm-hmm. but we have to maintain the integrity of this program because we're not. It's just not happening right now, and we have to do something about it. So we would like to see. Would you please take your extra vacation times during this time? It's much easier to travel. You're not going to get stuck in Denver for three weeks waiting for your Southwest flight to get out. It's cheaper. It's less crowded airports. It's off-sale vacation time. You know, there's all these perks. Please avail yourself to these built-in. A week won't do the job. Definitely. I think it would take 3 weeks to do it. And you attach it, you cancel spring break or you add it to that because there's regionals and whatever.
Yeah.
And if it were 3 weeks, I bet you we would get some bang for our buck on that in terms of reducing, chipping away at that big blob of extra time. Because the problem is it's not just the missed time. It's a corrosive effect overall on the learning culture. Of our district and our community, and then that has long term. Then it becomes a vicious cycle and self fulfilling prophecy over a longer time. And that's, I think we've got to put some attempt to have a backstop to this. And you know, we can have the same result. Maybe we try and it fails, but I don't think it's an argument for the futility of the attempt. I think we've got to try. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least we why didn't you guys do anything? We did something about it. We tried to meet you where you're at, and we tried to split the difference with you. But you got to meet us. And I bet it would. I believe it would. Will it eliminate it? No. But will it help to stem the tide and reverse this to something? I believe it would.
Well,
it would be as a part of a campaign like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it has to be
the
as
pilot,
part of that.
KFSK, everybody, the whole community's talking about it. It's like, take your vacation, market it. Like, get Dave Berg. Get Dave Berg. David Berg.
Jack up your prices.
Right, well.
Alaska Airlines will figure it out pretty quick. But that's. What about yours, Heather? How many students, what's the percentage of all the students? Is it
20?
20. Okay, so that's pretty standard for both schools, or all three schools. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How set are people on that Christmas break? We have 2 weeks right there.
But do we actually need all that?
Yeah,
we don't. We could leave on the 23rd and come back the day after New Year's and, cut that down considerably.
At least take a week, get a week right there maybe out of it. I don't know how much blowback we get from stealing.
Well, if you're talking to Jamie and I, we're here anyway.
We're here anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spring break, we're here.
And, it's early. It's not, you're not suffering. At Christmas time, it's fun here. There's all that tradition and stuff. And you're not sick of winter yet. When you really need to leave is like, you really want to go like
now.
What? Now? Oh. You guys, exact man. I just lived the last 3 decades in the tropics in California. You guys complain too much. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
You had all that time in the tropics.
I know, that's true.
Last winter was brutal.
You just lived.
I actually think
bunch
that
of whiners,
is part of
it.
I actually love it. Is last winter. They're like, I am not sticking around for that. Show.
Yeah.
And when you look at some of the other things, like you put that 3 weeks in there, and then you have it's going to be a moot point because I can see like, oh, if you're a coach and you're in season, you're not going to, and you're a teacher, you're not going to have those 3 weeks off. But it's kind of a moot point because talk to that guy back there who loses half his summer,
right,
comes in July 27th.
So he could go in
so
February.
He could have a February time. So it's going to break even anyway. And if you're coaching, you know you're going to lose that time.
My heart really goes out on the elementary side because I used to be an elementary educator from first half of my career, and I think families just have this idea that somehow, oh, they're just little kids, it's not a big deal, and what they're not really learning anything that's that urgent and important anyway. Kindergarten's the single most important year of school that there is, pretty much, and so I think sometimes it's like get your doctor to give you medical advice. Don't get medical advice from the internet or from a witch. Get advice from a real doctor.
Witch doctors?
Stop that.
So I'm just saying that, that's the same thing. We have to supplant. They're counting on us to make some professional decisions here. It's not just, let's see, are we learning today or not? That's not the way it works. That's not a sound plan. The grown-ups in the room have to make some tough decisions sometimes and have to make, and again, it can be a campaign and it can be an attempt. If we don't succeed, it's not because we didn't try. I would hate to say, gee, I wonder what would happen if we had actually tried to chip away at this big blob number that we want to reduce. And we know we're not getting 100%, but what if we could get...
Well, and actually I think I've seen that approach in districts too over the years where you literally have a target like that. I mean, mm-hmm. you say we're at this, here's the number, community.
Yep.
We had this many absences last year. I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, that's exactly
and,
right.
And you say,
right.
almost like those
that's
things
exactly
where you're marking off, when you see those, we've had no accidents in our workplace,
right?
We had 75 workplace incidents last year, and we're down to 62,
There's 65 bear attacks in this
year.
Right.
We're down
to
40.
We want to get it down to 40 this year.
Yeah. So, maybe it's that kind of a part of a campaign, too. It's we're going to have a goal for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, and it
and
doesn't mean...
Maybe Alaska Airlines gives us a giveaway.
Well, maybe
we
are
here
most often.
Talk to them. We talk to them
and we get a trip in
and
March.
Commercial for ACTO. Petersburg.
And they would jump on that because you tied into education.
Yeah.
Are some of our absences, it might be harder for you to answer this question since it's your first year here, but are some of the families chronic, each year, pre-COVID?
Yes. Absolutely.
So it's each year the expectation is they're going to take off or...
Yes.
2 to 3 weeks or whatever.
We have we do have a contingency of a percentage of population that does that mm-hmm. over the years.
But even if we didn't have a campaign, just by offering that target and just saying, you guys, here it is, and I think some people just gravitate to that on their own. They're going in the middle of whatever because there is no opportunity for anything mm-hmm. else. If we provide the opportunity, we have a chance. Would it solve a problem? No. Would it cut down the problem? It's got to. How could it not cut down the problem?
I have a family who just came and asked when the count date was because they're planning a 3-month vacation next year.
Oh, my God.
At least they're considering our count date. That's nice of them. Wow.
That's nice.
Very
it almost if we can have a rotating.
They're just going to withdraw.
Offer school.
Hope for the best when they get back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time missed. But if we could have
that's a
offer school year round, but you choose your 2 semesters, your 2, they have to be together. So you could do winter and spring, or you could do spring and summer, but then our teachers are working all the time.
Sorry.
That's
not going to fly.
But and then families could choose. No, we don't want to be in school all winter, so we're going to do spring and summer session, and winter we're taking our family time.
Yeah.
But we don't have the capacity to make that happen.
School either.
No. That's when it's nice out. You can't be inside during that time.
Right, exactly.
So. You talk to Europeans or Australians and stuff, when they go on holiday, it's not a... It's not a weekend or a week.
Yeah.
It's they're on holiday for a month.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do that with their education system? Do you guys have any idea?
Yeah.
More of
I believe they're on more of a year-round.
Yeah,
year-round.
Yeah, they have shorter summer vacations anyway.
State of Hawaii did that. I went to school was traditional, what we did here. There's, and then after I graduated, they moved to year-round. And
mm-hmm.
I think they've got pretty
and
little
there's
stricter.
Schools in California. I mean, there's
first,
in every
first 12 years I worked in California, it was always year-round school.
Year-round.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I liked it. I as a teacher, could switch to a track.
So what's best for students is research-proven.
Mm-hmm.
The year round.
The year round.
The year round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would work here, you know, with fishing and the seasonal. That would be hard here.
I don't think it's realistic in this community.
Yeah.
That's not realistic. And then plus all the activity, you know, it would crush activities then, you know. So.
Yeah, how do they do them in, how do you do
in Hawaii, they just do it.
The whole island is doing it. Or
the whole state.
You're not standing independent. Okay, that makes sense.
Like they make a whole
school district.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one whole
school
district. So.
Every kid gets a grass skirt.
That's right.
They also have in other countries the same calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody falls on the same calendar. Like that's what they're
So winter break
whatever.
Is.
It's like a federal calendar.
In.
Like everybody starts on this day and everybody.
Yeah. So it's a very
structured.
Mm-hmm. Same start time, same
ticket prices
time.
Would go up to $1 million if that happened.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, did you talk to? I talked to one group of people that changed to a subsistence calendar. Did you talk to anybody when you were up in November?
Yes.
It was not a positive response where they had hoped that it would, because they have this mass exodus at the beginning of May that go out, and they're like.
Yep.
Their families are like, don't care, see ya in the fall.
Yeah.
And they tried, but they said it was just a mess. It didn't matter.
Yeah. That's why Edgecombe finishes the first week in May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they add, the reason they can do it, they bring their kids in September, but twice a month they have Saturday school.
That's
how
they make up for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, I mean,
and
since we're talking about manipulation
like,
of time, that
it'd
is
be
not
like today,
you know,
Saturday would be a full day like what we just had today.
They have more control. Their kids are on
they
campus.
Do.
They don't go anywhere. It's a boarding school.
You don't have a choice.
Well,
I went to boarding school, and I went to school on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the other thing. You just reminded me. I was making some notes, but one of the other things that we've also, I mean, we're talking about, like, what do you do? Like, one of the things with the Reads Act is in the regs is the conversations that happen K-1-2, parents, notification, meetings, all the things that happen. Parents make the decision what happens, what grade they go to next at that level, but all the communication and requirements that are there. But then third grade, there's that conversation about retention. Is it required? No. There's a trigger date, 45 days before the end of the school year. You got to have the meeting. You've already had 3 years worth of meetings and conversations and data and interventions and proof and all that. But that's the one of those caveats that could be something that is could be helpful within the Reads Act is you have the conversation with the parents and the reg says now if you want your kid to go ahead and go on to fourth grade next year, you're opting to want to sign the waiver to have your kid go to fourth grade even though they're not where they need to be, and we've showed that they've done all these other pieces. And then they're required, again, how it's going to be required, I don't know, is for 20 hours of summer school. And 20 hours is what we basically provide kids now. I mean, that's not weird. It's not crazy. It's not, you know, it's 3 or 4 weeks for an hour and a half a day.
But what's really crazy is that, you know, if you take that and you go off your, that's 3 days of instruction.
Yeah, but theoretically targeted in that sense of whatever that looks like. But yeah, or, so I mean, is that a conversation? Do people, and there are districts that, and some of the samples that we shared too, that have some of that, you know, like you've had 27 first period tardies, you are here on a Saturday for 8 hours. I mean, like you have standing Saturday school type, you know, make up time for kids or... And those are things, you know, there's things to hold over kids' heads in high school for sure, because you could always tie that to activities in that sense.
And
like, you don't make up your tardies.
And credits.
You know,
credits,
and middle school, somewhat, you could tie some, you know, you could have a little bit of a carrot and a stick with activities and whatever as well. It becomes more challenging, you know.
The parents still
or
have to get
it,
the kid to the Saturday school on a Saturday.
Or is there, again, that sort of what do you do if? In third grade, they don't show up on Saturday school. They refuse to come in the summer. You know, do you go ahead and pass them on anyway and sign, make them sign a whatever that says, I refused this, I refused that, they're not going to whatever, I know they're not ready for fourth grade.
And hope for the best.
Sign. What is our obligation?
But that's only
though?
For reading, right?
Well,
I mean,
well,
you
could
have
be
kids.
Well, well,
yeah.
Well,
math.
So,
mean,
well,
math.
That's a good point. And that's not just elementary school. Math is so sequential that if you miss a foundational skill, you are stymied until you recover that skill. So
and
imagine
that requires someone to do it.
Multiplying it out by 12 years, and then the trade-off is, okay, the teacher slows down and makes sure everybody gets foundational skills, then you're not reaching your scope in the mm-hmm. sequence. You're not hitting the range that you need to hit. And then I think probably math is the single most catastrophically impaired subject area of all of them. I mean, there's elementary
the
reading.
Spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I agree, because
yeah.
if you read enough, you'll eventually get there.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
can't. Yeah.
Fill that mold.
Yeah.
Fill that
mold. Math
oh,
is
I
the
agree.
Big loser.
That's what worries me, too.
Yeah. Math is the big loser.
And so then that's, like, going back to what do you do,
mm-hmm.
is that your kid is not ready for fourth grade or fifth grade or sixth grade or whatever that looks like because of these skill deficits or these gaps in learning, and here's the standards they don't know, here's the areas they don't know,
yep.
right here. We've told you this. They need more support, X, Y, Z. Summer time, after more time intervention, all those things. I think the thing about even having waivers for people, I mean, again, it's at least an attempt at some sort of documentation of something. Like, you
right.
know, you are knowingly, whatever, your kid's going on, and wow, you know. But what's hard is then, but as educators, when kids come into your classroom and you know they're not ready, and we're supposed to be also, the flip side of all this is we're supposed to be doing RTI, we're supposed to be providing intervention supports for kids, but if some of it is due in part to massive absence issues, it's sort of like, why is that our problem?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just going to say it. I mean, everybody will work all day, every day when kids are out on some sort of awful medical thing, you know, or something like that. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
We get it. Or a family thing, or, you know, I mean, stuff happens. People die. I mean, things. But it's the cavalier month-long trips, and it's like, well, then why is that our problem? I mean, okay, you've made it clear it doesn't matter, but then are we obligated? How much do we have to do to fill that hole based on those? I mean, it's just a philosophical question.
I don't know. That would be on the trip slip. For that type of trip, there's no expectation that you're going to be catered to.
Right, and that's one of those
like that.
Samples that was in there.
Yeah.
That. But again,
I was really hard for teachers to turn
but
that off.
But that's what
off.
I'm saying. But the fact
they
is
won't.
They come back, and of course, I don't know any of our
teachers. They will do everything to get that child caught up.
Don't worry about it. You don't know this, and I'm not going to help you.
No.
You don't know division?
Yeah, totally.
Sorry. See ya. Good luck. You know, I mean, they're not going to do
yeah.
that. They're going to
yeah.
be like, come back after school. Let's do this. Let me send this
yeah,
home.
And you do still have a certain population that struggle despite being at school every
yeah.
single day.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're
not grade level.
But that's the point, is we already have that. Why should we
yeah.
sign up to make it worse? So I'm afraid we're, you know.
I'm not opposed to having parents sign things that say, I acknowledge this and I acknowledge that. And but I think we have to, they might be our, they're the group that we might need to pull in to say, what could the district
yeah.
do differently
mm-hmm.
that would make your plans different so that your child is losing less time and is not missing as much school. And if they just say, yeah, there's nothing you can do, I'm just going to keep doing, you know, we're still going to take our month-long vacation, regardless of when you do.
Well, I mean, for that matter, you
yeah, could, then I think that feedback, though, is necessary.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's what
yeah.
I'm saying.
So
it's a
conversation. It's
mm-hmm.
not a date.
Yeah.
I've invited every parent
oh, okay.
that I've called from November and December and emailed. Every parent is invited. Like, I picked up the phone and called them and asked them to please attend the ReadsBack discussions and help us, like, give us that input. What can we do? How can we do this together?
Mm-hmm.
And
did
I think
they,
in
did
a,
they?
I think well,
there
we
was
some good
I mean there was 20 some there's going to be more.
And were some of those ones from you that you had communicated with directly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Off that list. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I do think it's frustrating just as a board member, like Eric was saying before. The push to open our doors back up during COVID, the people we heard saying that very loudly are now the ones that are out.
That are pulling their kids for a month. Yep.
And it's like, well, our doors are open. Sorry you're not here. And that part is really frustrating.
Very
and I know it's only a few, really, in both schools, but it's incredibly frustrating.
Very frustrating. And again, hard for teachers. Those things are hard when it's just like, yeah, it's important, but it's not really important. Not important enough for me to keep my kid here with
yeah.
you for these three or four weeks. But when I come back, what is the expectation, you know,
mm-hmm.
from parents? I guess that's a question that I would want to ask people, too. What do you expect when your kid comes back? And they will have holes and gaps of some sort.
Yeah.
Some will have more than others. Some will catch up quicker. I mean, we know that. Mm-hmm. There's the gamut, right? Mm-hmm. Kids that are struggling even when they're here all the time. So we know that. But asking, I guess, families that expectation, you do know when your kid comes back, they will be disengaged for a while, not just academically, but, you know, in other ways, with just the flow of a classroom and engaging with other kids and being out of the loop. And we see it when they come back, especially I'm going down younger grades, but I would argue even with our older kids, they come in, they've lost a little spot in their social group. Mm-hmm. Things have shifted. I mean, teenage.
That happens quite often, especially at the high school level. Yeah. They're all for 3-0, you're not mm-hmm. hanging out with Canadian. The social
people. Yeah. Kids have found each other over here.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And then there's that.
I want a guy who's 2 weeks. I want a guy who's here, not who took off to go to Hawaii.
Right.
I'm not going out with you anymore. Nope. You don't even have a car.
Yeah. Sounds like high school.
Yeah, that would be
sure is.
I mean, look, if you want to be not cynical about it, this might be practical, it's just 3-week continue Christmas vacation for 3 more weeks and just have a definitive middle of the year. Here's our a semester, middle of the year, all in one. There's no other long vacation until we get out in May or May or whatever, and that's just it. There's no spring break. All our break is in one time of the year. Go now or forever hold your peace, and don't go any other time. Just saying.
They'll still go to regionals. They'll go to this. They'll go to state. No. I know. There's things about Alaska that are challenging that we also have to acknowledge, and we know that. Like, you can go to a regional basketball game in Idaho. I can get in my car on Friday after work, and I can drive down for the weekend, and I can watch all the games, and I can come home on Sunday, and my kid doesn't miss anything else, and I don't miss anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's trying to acknowledge and understand that there are those things for people who can afford to go, to see their kid and want to participate and all of that. But that's the challenge in it too, you know, what's acceptable for
them. And I think, and school kind of, at least at the high school, stands still when basketball tournament happens, and then it used to be for Music Fest when I was in high school, but the music department was bigger, that it would be 20 kids tops at the high school, the entire high school, because you had almost everybody was in band or choir.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really sure what they did
during
the week while the rest of us were gone.
That's a really cool deal. I think they've been doing it for quite a while now.
My dad started it.
Yeah. Regions Week, all the kids that were left back was turned into, what did they call it? It was like an enrichment time where they had to choose what they were going to do, and it was
Discovery Week.
Yeah, Discovery Week. So a teacher would take a group, and that's what they were doing for the whole week.
So it wasn't, it was a different type of learning.
Yeah. So your instruction.
Like exploratory
kids. Yeah.
Kind of cool.
I'd do that.
It was really genius.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Especially at a school that size that was significantly smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But the same amount of kids.
Yeah, and they did like paddle making. I mean, they did.
Yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your kids.
You want to say something?
Well, is there any talk about a threshold of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable? As I was pulling data for the principals, I looked back at my own child's, 2017, 2018, when they were in elementary school, and saw that they had missed 8 days of school. And when I investigated what those 8 days were, they were one this month, one this month. They were half a day here. I mean, they were so parceled out.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that he was experiencing learning loss for those 8 days. So is there a thought about what that threshold would be where we would then say, well, your child's experiencing learning loss? Like, I mean, because otherwise, if you can't make it quantifiable, then I don't know how we can even write it into any sort of policy or handbook or...
But learning loss is so subjective to the kid, too.
But there are general
but
rules. I mean, that we're never going to create anything that's airtight that works 100%.
Well, I think we found one in one of our research, right, that was like beyond 5 days or something. There was something like if you were going to be...
Consecutive.
There was a consecutive one like beyond, wasn't it? Where was that?
I think their trip slips had to require, if it was going to be over 5 days, then they were required to have a certain trip slip. There were some schools that had like 14, like it was acceptable to have 14, and then once you started going over 14, then you had to start making them up on Saturday schools.
Mm-hmm.
Or after that threshold, then grades could be penalized or whatnot, depending on the absence type.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do we have the funding to afford to have a teacher come on Saturdays?
Don't you do Saturday school at times now?
AMLO does it for free.
I do it as a study makeup opportunity that frankly could be done from anywhere. So it's not a real, I use it for morale to try to get reluctant students to come in and feel and see school differently, you know, and come in and have the whole place to themselves and be able to just sort of, and not have any adversarial relationships with adults or triggers with their peers and stuff like that. It's to try to change up their experience of being in school. So it's more for that. And, you know, specifically like some kids, they got 10 missing assignments and they come in and knock out 8 of them. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
I do it like once every 3 weeks or so.
Kieran's days last year, and they attended state in every sport he did. He did cross country, basketball, and baseball. He missed 19.
And that was just activity?
That's just activity.
Okay.
Including the whole seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons plus state.
Did he have a bunch of sick days? Did he have any other major, like, impacts in his life last year?
For last year? Yeah. In November.
Yes. March. It was March. The year before.
Oh.
The year before. Yeah.
Got it.
Where?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he was out for.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, medical. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that's right.
My concern is that much absence is also getting it baked into the cake where teachers are consciously or otherwise lowering standard to some extent in order to make it, you know, doable for everybody that somehow they feel, you know, they're I don't know if it's conscious. In some cases it might be, but somehow they're just, you know, dummy down's the wrong word, but somehow facilitating, you know, the lowering of the standard in order to make it so that if you do miss so much work, it won't be that onerous to catch up, because then, you know, it's hard to quantify, like how much learning loss is getting sort of absorbed and built into the overall formula.
Mm-hmm.
I already have teachers who tell me that they change their policy about grading or late work or something in anticipation of irate parents, particularly when grade checks coming up. I've had teachers actually tell me that they've taken that into consideration and that they're already practicing based on what their experience is, you know, and that to me is a problem, you know. And then how many other areas are we doing that, you know, where we're somehow lowering a standard in anticipation of, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And Friday last year
pressure.
Were half days. We got out at noon.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we're not going to solve it tonight, are we?
No, we aren't.
No.
Well, no.
We should probably call it.
Keep it around.
Especially for those that have been here since 5:30.
But it's a conversation. You know, it may take us a year or two to actually do anything about this, but
the conversation on. Education can start, though. I mean,
yep.
The CKFSK, maybe the pilot pick it up as a conversation, start talking about it on a regular basis.
And I think really intentionally inviting conversation with people, even our most challenging people, you know, is just having those conversations.
Survey the people who have been out saying, what if we next year built in 3 weeks into, of travel opportunity in the winter, could you agree to having scheduling your travel?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that if a bunch of them said yeah, then we know we already know. I don't think the information is that the data we need. I don't think it's that hard to get. I mean, we just I have all the trip slips there. I just send a, you know, whatever. Maybe it's a one-on-one interview with a return interview. How was your trip? How was your trip to Spain that you didn't tell us about. How about
chat.
Next year? I next year go try Italy. But how about this? Would you go during if we?
Have I got a deal
weeks?
For you?
Yeah, Dave Berg is my friend. Dave Berg here is going to hook you up with a travel to. You're going to go to the Sistine Chapel and the Spanish Steps, and you know it'll just be wonderful. Rome is beautiful. It's rainy and cold, but it's still beautiful. You know, so
I would echo what you said too. It's really important.
the elementary, just those beginning years to build those bases.
Yeah, I think the takeaway for me is that perspective of how you're affecting the teachers. Like, it's not just about what you're getting as a family. It's like, what are you putting then on the teachers? I don't think it's often looked at as a two-way street. It's looked at as, what am I getting?
Yep.
I'm doing this.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this is the back current to it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to highlight.
And it's not something that is easily conveyed through a newsletter, like, please send your kids. Like, teachers probably need to be part of that campaign.
So that could be asked principals to maybe start in your report each month, just so it's constantly being talked about every month, is this is how many non-illness, maybe they're just called travel.
It's really hard, though.
Is that too much to grab?
Well, because Sina takes all the phone calls, and so what I have to do is go into each comment bar of who's absent.
No.
We don't have a coding.
But we can change the codes anytime.
I would say change the code. Just put a V in there.
Do you always get the right information? Like, when families call in or email, do they give you enough information to appropriately, like, code it? Or are they just like, oh, so-and-so's out?
Yeah, most times.
Well, like, these long
they'll be like, oh, they're sick,
like,
or we're going to
have
the elementary
trip slips, and it's something we need to be doing.
And I'm going to make mine, like, meaner. It's going to say, like, number of days that you're planning to miss. How many days has your student already missed this year? What is the total of days?
But
it calls the test. They don't have to fill it out.
Communication. I agree. I think the trip slip could start on our end, and we say, and actually it is a conversation. Like, your kid actually does have 17 missing assignments in 5 classes. They have missed already.
What's your plan?
13 days for this. They've missed. Do you know what I'm saying? I actually think that's that one sample that was in here already that had that, where you're like, you're knowingly doing this, and you may flip us off and walk out the door, but you are knowingly walking out the door knowing that your kid is just far behind, has a D, doing this, blah, 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 they're going here. I mean, it's a speed bump of communication, you know, more communication than is required now, and none is required at the elementary in that sense. Like, there's no, there's never been a process for it. I never did it either. Mm-hmm. So, but I think we craft one. I mean, there's a sample in there, and I think we could craft one. I think those are things that could happen. That's just communication. It's just information. There's nothing changing with what we already have in our handbooks or any of that sort of thing. I mean, that's just, here's the info, and we really do, we want you to, we're going to implement this process of having you communicate.
If we give the right code so that Sina, when she's putting it in, then it would be easier to
talk about that
each month and not take too much time.
How,
looking at those codes. The elementary? I think, I don't
know.
VA,
vacation absence? I don't know.
Yeah, it does not. It's throwing Erica off because I changed one on her, and she couldn't handle it, so she changed it back.
Got it. Well, maybe it's a conversation with Heather and Sina about those codes.
Muscle memory,
yeah.
It will probably be a problem for her. But the way that it's categorized as an actual absence or an actual presence likely won't change. So, no, I think it'll be fine to change it if the person doing it can
handle it. Sick.
Yeah.
The whatever the codes are that we use that are similar to these codes that could help give more clear
at
data.
At a quick glance. When you're
at a quicker
looking
glance.
At attendance, you can see,
you know,
it's not just all E's, excuse.
Yeah, they're gone, have to error.
And you can drill them down that way by specific categorization, which is nice.
Yeah.
Could we invite the paper to come maybe do a story? Or put an article in paper or something like that.
Oh, yeah. They're open. This is
all being recorded, so
they're open to doing any of those kind of pieces. Rachel and them are tackling it. And I do think these forum conversations with this Reads Act and other things, I think this, I mean, doing this kind of thing, I mean, we'd have a more, this is talking, but I mean, we'd have more of a process. But the
boards, just FYI, there may be state ed code about not, you know, about not dinging for absences, but boards, I think, can have the luxury of creating graduation requirements. And so, you know, I'm not sure you couldn't have...
I'm not sure I'm willing to go down that road, especially if kids have done the work and passed the tests, and to come down to, you know, you're not going to get to graduate because you missed 60 days this year, but if they did the work.
But
not interested. As a board member, I'll tell you that right now.
If the coursework requires that you can't miss, basically it's if you miss 60 days, you're not going to live up to the academic expectations that the courses are holding. So if otherwise, We can make it easy enough that anybody can pass if they never come to school, if that's what we want.
But we're not there.
No, we're not there. No, but I'm saying that to set up.
I went to high school here. I don't want to admit how long ago, but it was a problem then too. So this is a culture that's been going on for a decade, and I'm sure it was like that when Tommy was in high school here too. That it's, I don't think we're going to change it, but we can maybe reduce it.
Mm-hmm.
There'll always be,
of course,
that, and I guess as a board member, I would be unwilling to go down that road, at least at the high school level, you know, to make it, because it's like, this is the coursework. If you can get it done, you're missing so many days. Yes, there might be some penalties, but not you don't get to graduate, because my frustration, even several years ago when we had an exit exam in this state, that it didn't matter if you did all the coursework. You couldn't finish that exit exam, you didn't get a diploma. And I thought that was absurd. Because you came down to one little test. And so that frustrated me, and I'm so glad they repealed that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I would almost feel that way. It's like, oh, you hit this threshold, well, you don't get to graduate,
mm-hmm.
even if the coursework were done.
But if you don't pass your classes and get
credit
because you're not passing
you wouldn't
classes,
anyway.
Right?
And that's
right.
a different
and if
conversation.
The
yeah.
But it's related, because if the coursework is really that rigorous,
mm-hmm.
and you're
I agree.
Passing.
That's what we're saying, though.
Right.
If they don't
right.
pass the
sure.
class, they don't
but
pass
yeah,
the class.
Then they
yeah.
wouldn't graduate. But I wouldn't want to go it off of how many days you were in your seat or not, you know, even if they did the coursework and passed. So I wouldn't want that to be.
But the way of thinking is, if you miss that many days of school and the coursework is really that rigorous, how could you possibly pass? Because you would have missed so much instruction that would have been necessary in order to pass the class in the first place. And if the requirements or the exigencies are low, anybody can pass it. No matter how many days you miss. But if they're high, you have to be in school.
I think you see, like, even the high school students now, if they miss a month of school and they have difficulty getting caught up, they get a D or an F in that quarter out of the four quarters. Do they still pass the class?
They could.
Yeah. So then we're back to that problem again. Mm-hmm.
A high percentage chance of getting it, especially if they were here for one semester.
Mm-hmm.
You're here for one semester and you – or say you failed – quarter one, but
yeah.
then you got an A quarter two, and you did amazing on that final. You're getting the credit.
Yeah.
60% of it is minus. Yeah.
Anyway, I think we should call it.
Yes.
Everybody's getting tired. And
agree.
Like you said, we won't solve it tonight.
Hangry.
Yeah, some of you might be hangry. You didn't know from yesterday.